listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. Action-packed hour for you on Wednesday. NBA games. Played last night. Who won? Who cashed? What does it mean moving forward? Also, three NBA games tonight, including a best bet from one of our pros who know, Steve Fezzik, back from senior day, rested. Brad Powers in studio. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. By the way, bottom of the hour. No other show could do this. We'll just say this plainly. Straight Out of Vegas only. How do the professional bettors look at the NFL schedule release? So much knowledge being dropped there at the bottom of the hour. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you each day. Jonas Knox in LA, we had a vote. And oh, is it close?
Oh, yeah, big time vote on Game of Thrones.
Where's our voting music?
Yeah, where is our voting music? We need that. This has got to feel like an election night here at Fox Sports Radio. RJ, you threw it out yesterday. Game of Thrones, should we or should we not discuss it weekly as the odds change? You put a poll up on your Twitter account at RJ in Vegas. Where do we stand?
Well, listen, first off, we didn't even think we needed to go to a poll. Our thought was, let's do a caller crossfire. But we have, quite frankly, objectively, the smartest audience in sports radio, because these guys bet money, a lot of them. And it was a heck of a debate, a heck of a crossfire. I said, let's go to the people. I'm a democracy's in my heart, Jonas. You may or may not know that. Here was the poll. Should we do weekly updates on Game of Thrones? And I said, yes, it's a phenomenon. No, it's a TV show. Right now, 2,300 votes in, 50% says yes, and 50% says no. The voting goes on for an hour 40. So if you have a strong opinion, you can make the difference. You ever hear, I don't know if my vote counts? Your vote counts here. It is 50-50 voting now at RJ in Vegas. Updates throughout the show.
Guys, from Game of Thrones to the NBA playoffs, we go where last night in Portland, the Trailblazers beat the Thunder 114-94. Portland now leads the series 2-0. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on what we saw last night in Oregon?
You know, my dad told me a story once. He said, Thomas Edison, one time his invention facility burnt to the ground. And it's like his life's work. It's not like, you know, insurance or some stuff was irreplaceable. And he brought out his son and he said, look at that. You're never going to see a fire like that again. Well, kids, others, you're going to see Steve Fezzik, professional batter, do something that you would think is almost impossible. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime fire. His best bet for the country when it came to series bets, this is a guy that has a mansion and a yacht because he's such a good batter. His best bet was Oklahoma City to win the series as a favorite, the road team as a favorite. Now, after his senior day, you would think he'd say, I'm coming in. I'm going to explain how I'm wrong. You know, I was interested. Like, what can we learn? You only got to win 55% of the time. So you accept your losses. but you try to learn from them. Instead, Brad, how shocked were you when Fezzik said, oh no, OKC's been the right side the whole time?
I was stunned. And this is coming from a guy that usually gives us one or two a week.
One or two stunners a
yes.
week.
Yes.
So we're going to just give him, he's got his own, whenever Fezzik is double talking, he's got his own theme music. So Steve, the nation awaits. Explain how OKC's the right pick in the series.
Well, betting them for the series was a lot better than betting them games one or games two because we're still
alive. That's like falling from 20 stories or 30 stories.
Fair enough. I have not lost my bet yet, and I am so optimistic.
Okay, okay. Hold on a second. His answer is it could have been worse, and it's yet to be 100% loser.
Here is what has happened, RJ. Portland has shot well from three-point range. They've made 42% of their threes. Oklahoma City has been horrendous from three-point land. They're shooting 16%. They're making 1/6 of their three-pointers. Think about this.
So how many are you going to give us another couple ways to say 16%? So what you're saying is Portland's playing good basketball. OKC's playing bad basketball. Thus, OKC was the right side.
No. What I'm saying is that all of this point differential is attributable to favorable three-point shooting for one team, Portland, and horrific three-point shooting for Oklahoma City. If they were only close, Portland could should be shooting better than Oklahoma City from three. And they
Hold on. You said Oklahoma City should be shooting better than Portland from three?
I'm saying if Oklahoma City had just hit a quarter of their three-pointers, anything reasonable, this series would be 1-1 and we'd be fine.
Hold on a second. So what's been the scoring margins?
5 and 20.
And the first game was 5?
Yep.
Okay. So what you're saying is they make two more three. And again, you never know how the end game goes. They make two more threes, they win.
Yes. And they should have made about 5 more threes.
How's that?
They're shooting 10 for 61 for the series. They should be 20 for 61 if they just hit a third of their threes, and that's not even very good, RJ.
Now listen, a lot of people listening who aren't steeped in gambling knowledge are going to think, well, wait a minute, isn't that what basketball is, making threes or not, or making shots or not? It's like saying, if only we threw more touchdown passes, we would have won the football game. Except in basketball, there is a luck factor, whereas you can take the same 20 shots one day and make 14, same 20 the next day and make 7. You didn't change. The defense didn't change. And to some degree, like turnovers in the NFL, that's how we identify over or underperforming teams. Now, Brad, you've got a stat, Brad Powers, that really reinforces how badly OKC's been shooting.
So Oklahoma City has played 84 games this season, 82 in the regular season, 2 postseason games. Oklahoma City's 2 worst performances from three-point range, game 1, game 2 against Portland.
Wow. Wow, that's a stat. Brad Powers, we're straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. So I could almost believe it. But let's ask ourselves, is there anything other than randomness that could be affecting the shooting? My first hypothesis would be Russell Westbrook is a high-intensity player. To me, his greatest attribute as a player, he's always given you his heart. He's given you his all. What I found is when you care enough to play hard on a Tuesday night in Utah, you care so much you can get tight when the stakes are super high. With football coaches, we've seen this. I make the case, Bill Snyder at Kansas State underperformed in bowl games. Why? He's been so intense in his career. And I know players that played for Kansas State. It was really a tense situation in those bowl games. I think Bill Cowher, as a Steelers fan, they won a lot of games in the regular season because of his intensity, but they got tight in those AFC Championship games. Wouldn't we make the case Westbrook has a history of underperforming in the playoffs, going back to the time immemorial for Westbrook? And maybe it's not just fluke after fluke after fluke. Maybe fundamentally his intensity works against him in the playoffs.
Certainly a major concern. And you referenced it, Utah.
It wasn't a concern two games ago?
It was a factor, but I thought the other factors mitigated it. Especially, I expected Oklahoma City to have a good matchup here. They'd done so well in the regular season, sweeping this Portland team.
Because there was no pressure.
Now there's more pressure.
Number two, an open question. What's our level of certainty about Paul George's health? I mean, producer Mackey said, oh, his eye test on game one was horrible. Jonas, you're the guy that's got the perspective of the fan. With just your eyes, how does Paul George look?
He doesn't look 100%. And in fact, as a team, they look generally a step slower than Portland at times.
Even beyond Paul George?
Yes.
You're not somehow, Steve Fezzik, MD, what's your thoughts on Paul George?
He looks fine to me. Now, it's possible he has that recurring shoulder issue that might be hurting his long-range shot. But I got to tell you, RJ, eye test says everything looks fine except for every time Portland hoists a lousy three, it goes in. And every time Oklahoma City shoots a three, it clangs out. That's been the difference.
All right. So, listen, we'll have it. What is it Friday night? The game three? I think it is Friday night. We're going to have a lot to talk about because I'll make the case that if there's any team that I'm not anxious to bet in a game three, it's OKC, because when you're down 0-2, and we've got a history of those teams starting really fast, and we'll talk about the way you can potentially bet that on Friday. But what does being down 0-2 and playing at home in game three give a team? A sense of urgency, a sense of intensity. Do we really need more intensity with Westbrook, or might it just blow? Might there just be a the top of his head comes off? So the question is going to be, will it be something that adding even more intensity helps OKC, or could it be just too much of a good thing? I think that is going to be one of the most interesting questions when it comes to Friday's OKC game. When we come back, two things. One, we're going to finish reviewing yesterday's NBA, including that big Toronto win. And unpredictably, we've got an early pick on an early starting Red Sox-Yankees game.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look back at a big-time game in the NBA from last night.
We have fun each weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 78 degrees. The neon is coursing. Fez, I was talking, thinking about getting some Twitter response to the absurdity of you embracing OKC, wrapping your arms around them, saying one or two shots fall, this whole narrative is different. You poo-pooing Colin Cowherd and his negativity about OKC. But you know, as Mr. T said, it's easy to gibber and jabber. Right now, plus 170 for the Thunder in the series. You going to tweet out a ticket before game three, another monster bet on OKC?
I am. Double down.
That's your commitment?
It is.
How much is the bet going to be for?
I don't know yet.
Multiple thousands?
Yes.
All right. Now, listen, guys. Think about this. Now I'm backing off. It's at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. And you know if you don't tweet by showtime on Friday, it's going to be a disaster. Hey, Brad, what can we say if he does that? I'll be impressed.
If he does it, yeah, you're stepping up the
plate. It's a lot of talk right now.
Yeah. Brad, you've been kind of quieter. The green button's right there if you want to take me on here.
Well, if you're so confident, how about plus 150?
Well, no, that's not the way. We don't do that. We don't just try to. But this is simple. The no vig, it's minus 200 on the Blazers, plus 170 on the Thunder. The no vig line is plus 185. Do you will you take a bet at 185, Fez?
I'm going to bet plus 170, so of course.
Yes. So do you want to press the button, Big Brad? All right. All right. He pressed it. It was kind of an impotent button. Let's see. There we go. You guys got a it's a $100 standard bet here. See, guy, that's the thing, Jonas. If you disagree here, you better be ready to take out the bankroll.
Yeah, but you got to make sure the green button works and sounds.
Well, Brad got a little excited, I think.
It could be a bad omen. It could end up bad for Brad. All right, guys, we continue on in the NBA playoffs. We take a look back at what went down in Toronto last night, where it was the Raptors beating the Magic 111-82. That series is now tied at one apiece.
And I think the takeaways here, Fez, are obvious, so hit them quick.
Yeah, somewhat simplistic, but Toronto finally has a superstar they can go to when they're in trouble. Kawhi Leonard had a great game last night, scored 37 points, put the team on his back, and he delivered.
And Lowry?
Lowry, 0 points game one. He responded, had a very nice game two. I'm much less concerned about Lowry going forward.
To me, my takeaway from game one with Toronto was they were treating it like a regular season game. Leonard didn't play any extra minutes. In fact, played less minutes than he did during the regular season. You lose a playoff game by three, you better have your star in that game more than, I think it was, 32 minutes. The fact that it seems like Toronto almost got out of fear of losing that first game, they've shifted into some sense of urgency, might be exactly what they need. I would say Toronto's a team I'm not interested in if they get down. If there's a situation where they can doubt themselves, I think they're going to be very, there's going to be a high potential that they will doubt themselves because of their history, right? When you're Michael Jordan, you're down in a series, you say, hey, I'm Michael Jordan, right? Toronto, even Kawhi, doesn't have that kind of confidence. So I'm going to front run with Toronto. I don't want them in any tough spot.
I think that's a sage comment. And here we go again. If they get behind, you could see the other players reacting.
The Denver Nuggets were down by 19 points at one point in last night's game to the San Antonio Spurs, but they rallied to beat San Antonio 114-105. That series is also tied at one apiece.
To me, this is an example. And I think Denver's a long shot to win the title. But there was a point in that game that if they had not stepped up, if the Nuggets had not stepped up, their season probably is pretty much over. Now they're in a spot, if you look at the series price, the Nuggets are favored right now, minus 155 plus 135. So they went from futility to being favored. Doesn't mean they're going to win the title, but in almost every title-winning team, you can go back to multiple points in the season and say, if A had happened, the season would have been over, but they made sure B happened. Think about the Patriots when they came back from the Falcons. There was multiple situations that didn't seem all that important that were.
I still think Denver's in a whole lot of trouble, RJ. This is the phony final of the night. The game was tied with 4 minutes to play. Denver, okay, they got the win. I'm impressed. Getting the cover, covering -7, was a minor miracle. And I like when a team gets a very fortuitous cover to bet against them going forward.
So are you saying for the series?
For both the series and for game three coming up, yes.
So are you going to send out another ticket on the Spurs plus 135?
Well, the Spurs were already my underdog play for the series. So.
Well, but Toronto, but OKC was your best bet for the series.
I bet the Spurs now plus 130.
So what you're saying is you don't want to bet OKC. You're just doing it because we goaded you into it.
No, I like OKC.
So you like OKC more from here than you like the Spurs from here at the current market price?
I do.
Wow, this guy's making a commitment. Fezzik's right. I'm not saying that the final score isn't deceiving and that Denver didn't really play that well. But what I am saying is that when you have Denver down by 19 at home in the third quarter, the fact they win that game means they're alive. If they didn't win that game, they would not be alive, borderline. You got to give, and it's not even give Denver credit for that. It's acknowledging how often a team wins a title that had numerous times where if they didn't do this, the season would have been over.
Guys, we go to Major League Baseball next, where first pitch is coming up in about 5 minutes from now. It's the Red Sox at the Yankees on ESPN. And on pregame.com, the Yankees are a slight favorite.
Okay, so let's do the pick first if you have a lean or anything, Faz. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Red Sox.
Okay, I'm going to lean to the Yankees here. Both teams are underperforming. The Yankees are 7-9. But if you look at the run differential, the Yankees have actually outscored their opponents by 18 runs. They've had a whole lot of injuries. I think the Yankees are not in nearly as much trouble as you might think.
So if you look at just the win-loss, you'd say, uh-oh. But you look at the scoring differential, Yankees healthy, not healthier physically, but the better team so far.
Yes, and Boston at 6-12. They've been outscored by 40 runs. They've really been awful.
40 runs. All right, so your pick is?
Lean to the Yankees.
All right, and that starts in a little bit. Let's talk Red Sox in general. They were supposed to be the number one team in Major League Baseball based on the win total.
Well, actually, top three. They're 94 wins for... Oh, yeah, Yankees number one. You're correct. 97 wins.
Everyone just forget the last 40 seconds. All right, so they were right there at the top, we'll say, to make it Fez look better. Now, they've played 18 games. They're 6-12, the Red Sox. If I would have asked an interesting question, if I say Red Sox are going to win only six of their first 18 games, I want to bet you six or less. So if I would have made the over-under 6.5 for the Red Sox first 18 games, Fezzik, what would you have, what kind of lay price would you have been willing to lay on the over?
10-1.
Yeah, so you're saying this is like a 10% or less kind of start for the Red Sox?
Yes.
Their pitcher Sale, probably the driver of that.
Yeah, so Sale is their absolute stopper. He's tremendous. And
He's been historically tremendous.
So he has four losses this year and four starts. Last year, RJ, Chris Sale, four losses during the regular season. He's already lost as many games this year as he did all of last year. And in terms of run suppression, he normally gives up about half.
Run suppression? Yes. What is that?
That's how many runs you give up as a pitcher. Normally, he gives up half.
That's a fancy way of saying how many runs you give up.
Normally, you give up half. Chris Sale gives up half as
Hold
many
runs.
Hold
on a second. I want to get into this. So, like, is...
What happened to ERA?
Is the defense in football like a touchdown suppression unit? I mean, did you just make that up?
No.
Huh. I think there's got to be something other than just runs given up to be run suppression.
Chris Sale normally gives up about half as many
runs. Look, he's trying to change the subject.
This year he gives up double the normal runs of an average pitcher.
He's been like f***ing brain surgeon.
So he's...
You know, using those big words doesn't make you any smarter.
He's been four times worse than he was last year.
Have you heard that, Joe? Run suppression?
Yeah, I've heard that before, but it has to be more than just giving up runs. I think what Fezzik is trying to do is Major League Baseball changed from the DL to the IL this year. I think he's trying to change it from the ERA to the ERS to try and jump on board with some of these terms, but I have never heard that before just a moment ago from Steve Fezzik.
Well, I know in the shirts Fezzik wore in college were date suppression. So, I mean, you know, maybe there's something connected there.
Let's not blame it on the shirts now.
All right. So last thought. If Sale were 4-0 instead of 0-4, which you would expect is more likely than 0-4, the 3-1 would have been more likely. Boston would have 10 wins. Based on their win total for the season, which has a implicit percentage, you're going to win this percentage of the games, Boston should be 10.5 and 7.5. So somewhere between 10 and 11 wins. You add 4 to 6, you've got 10. So you could make the case that Sale is a big chunk of the underperformance. There still seems to be a little bit more. Pre-game pro Dave Esler gave us a good stat. In the last week, the ERA for the bullpen for the Red Sox is almost 7. And Fez, you've got a theory about how Sale and other starters not doing as well contribute to that.
Yeah, so every fifth day Chris Sale pitches, I'm in the bullpen. I know, hey, the bullpen only has to pitch probably 2 innings. We get the night off, basically. Not the case this year. Every time Sale has pitched, he's getting shelled. The bullpen has to come in and pitch 4 or 5 innings.
Now, do you want to make up a word for that right now?
I don't.
I mean, we could. It could be like, you know, what would it be? It could be bullpen anxiety. There's something, you know, maybe we'll do it for tomorrow.
Bullpen over you. So come up with
No, but that's not fancy enough.
Right. I'll work on it.
I mean, but the suppression just came to you. Just maybe that's what, you know, great art sometimes just comes instantly. You know, you can't really think about it too much. So last question. Do we expect Sale to turn it around? Do we expect the Red Sox to turn it around? It's easy to say only 18 games is a small sample. Don't worry. If you are a Red Sox fan, if you got a Red Sox over ticket or a World Series ticket, how worried are you?
Be very worried because his velocity for Sale is way down. He's throwing the ball 5 miles an hour less than he was last year. I think there could well be something wrong with him. I'm going to throw out a long shot here. I bet this last night. Tampa Bay to win the division, I got 3-1. I think it's a steal with the Red Sox in the dumper and the Yankees having so many guys that are injured right now.
Oh, a little bonus best bet. In just 1 minute, we're going to explain to you the secrets, and I don't use that word lightly, the secrets of how professional bettors look at the NFL schedule release.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Isaac Lohenkron.
Notice today, a Florida judge temporarily blocked the release of video evidence in the solicitation of prostitution case against Patriots owner Robert Kraft. Here was one of Kraft's defense attorneys during today's hearing laying out his argument.
The fundamental problem is that the video, to our view, is only going to appeal to the prurient interest of a certain segment of the population.
So the video has been temporarily blocked from being released until at least April 29th, the date of the next hearing in the matter. Coming up at 8 Eastern tonight, the complete NFL schedule will be revealed, but a lot of the matchups, the key matchups, have already been reported. The Patriots hosting the Steelers in Week 1 on Sunday Night Football, and the Raiders hosting the Broncos on the season premiere of Monday Night Football. And the Cleveland Browns making a big return to prime time. It's being reported that they'll play against the Jets on Monday Night Football in Week 2, host the Rams on Sunday Night Football in Week 3, their first appearance on Sunday Night Football in 11 years, and then NBC Sports Bay Area reports that the Browns will also play a third primetime game against the 49ers. Multiple outlets report LSU is expected to hire Texas A&M Athletic Director Scott Woodward to be its new athletic director. And finally, the Alliance of American Football has filed for bankruptcy in the Western District of Texas. According to court filings today obtained by Front Office Sports, the league had assets of $11 million but had debts of $48 million, including $5 million to CBS. They owed $1.2 million to Arizona State University and to Rosemary's Catering, which is a local business in San Antonio. They owed $203,000. Poor Rosemary. On that note, Jonas, back to you.
Thank you, Isaac. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at the big games tonight in the NBA playoffs. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, being a good Italian boy, my mom's name is Rosemary. Mm-hmm. So I think the AAF is even worse now. I mean, no logic to it, but I just feel it. All right, guys, listen. I get this question a lot. Why do you put up with Fezzik? I mean, it's almost every day. And I think this segment is going to show it because no other radio show could do this. We're going to talk about how the pros, and Fezzik is the only two-time Super Contest champion.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f***ing world.
All right, Fez, let's start with it. Home games versus away, it matters in specific spots. We want to look at those spots first when we glance at the schedule.
Yeah, you don't want a home game in London or in Mexico City. Essentially, you'll lose a home game when that occurs.
So effectively, you got seven true home games, and someone's got to be the home team, right? There's no real advantage to it over there. And then plus you've got that crazy trip that's draining too.
Exactly. So you're adding all these miles that you need to log and you lose the home game. A double negative. Whenever I look at betting season wins, I love to fade teams.
And that's what we're trying to figure out is we knew who these teams were going to play. I'm a Steelers fan. I knew the 16 teams we were going to play. Now it's when. What the situation is. Number one is no home game, quote unquote, in London or Mexico City.
Exactly.
I think not as important, but also important, you don't want a road game on Thursday.
Yeah, it's so difficult to have to play on the road with a short work week. And we saw that probably the poster child was the Minnesota Vikings. Remember when they had to travel across the country to the Rams, one of the most difficult schedule spots of the year. Don't want a team that has to play road games on Thursday night.
All right, so that's the starting point. Number two, we want to look at net rest. Net rest.
Yeah, so what do we mean by net rest? We don't want to have to play a whole lot of teams off of bye weeks. That's like the worst possible
situation.
So they
got more rest than you in that case.
Exactly right. What we want is we want to be able to play teams off Monday night games where they come in on a short week. So we go ahead and compile, hey, how many days rest do we have versus our opponents? What's the net? And we want a net positive.
Now, the Giants 2 years ago, I was on Colin talking about this, had a minus 22 net rest. And I mean, I don't know how much that contributed to that very poor season they had, but it doesn't help. And Brad, the NFL has discussed, we want to make sure that it's not that out of whack again, but still you'll have some teams are minus 10, other teams are plus 10. It's meaningful. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. What's the secret way? And it really is secret. Well, not anymore, I guess. When it comes to how the pros approach the schedule release and how you adjust your power rankings, your optimism for various teams. Now, we've talked about you don't want home games in London and Mexico City. You don't want road games on Thursday. You want net rest. What about byes? Every team gets one bye. How does it factor in?
You want a late bye, ideally. Think about how hard it is to play week after week in the NFL, but by the end of September, most of the teams aren't very injured. You kind of waste your bye when you have a late September or early October bye. Ideally, you want that bye early in November.
Last factor here, net travel. Some teams like Seattle, it matters where you are. Inherently, you're going to travel more. But sometimes you're lucky is your road games are close. A team that might be a far trip is home. How do you think about net travel?
Yeah, and it's a big negative to have a whole lot of travel. And frankly, I make this very simplistic. I just add up all the miles that a team has to fly over the course of a season and compare and contrast teams that have to fly a whole lot of miles with those that don't have to do nearly as much travel.
Straight out of Vegas, RJ Bell, we are live, and we might as well give you the live lines of some of these week one games. And we've got aspiring... It's almost like Robert Goulet, John Goulet, aspiring newsman Brad Powers.
Yeah, the NFL season, the 100th season of the NFL opens up Thursday night.
Not too much flourish. Yeah. Get to the numbers.
Bears at home against the Packers. The Bears, a 3.5-point home favorite. Next up.
All right, so Bears, let's do instant reaction here. Bears are at home 3.5.
Bears at home 3.5. Sounds
so
right.
That's saying they're clearly the better team than Green Bay.
Yeah, it looks spot on to me.
All right.
Next up, the Eagles at home against the Redskins. Eagles, an 8-point favorite.
I mean, who's the quarterback for the Redskins?
Yeah, well, might be Colt McCoy.
Give me some Eagles
right
there. Go ahead.
The Jets, a 3.5-point home favorite over the Bills.
Wow, so the Jets are better than the Bills.
Yeah, they're buying Le'Veon Bell.
Let's take the 3.5, right, RJ?
I like the 3.5. I downgrade the Jets 0.5 for having Le'Veon
Bell. Pretty equal
Bell.
Teams. We'll take that 3.5.
And the Ravens at the Dolphins. How about the Ravens, a 3.5-point road favorite?
Now, Fez, you've got a theory. Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, Dolphins, I think, are going to be historically bad. I hate laying 3.5 on the road, but if I had to make a bet, it would be with the road favorite.
Browns, much hyped at home against the Titans. The Browns, a 5-point home favorite.
Well, that's showing a lot of respect for the Titans, I think. Feels right. I thought they would have went a little. I wouldn't have been surprised if that was 6.5, and I would have liked the Titans.
5 feels about right.
But that feels right as you as a handicapper. I'm saying the market. Go ahead.
Cowboys at home against the Giants. Cowboys a 7.5-point home favorite.
Ooh, that's a lot of disrespect for the Giants.
I don't think much of Eli Manning or the Giants. I think it's right.
Mm. And you like this one. Sunday Night Football. Patriots at home against your Steelers. The Patriots a 6-point home favorite.
Boy, I got to like the Pats. But remember, we'll probably have some point one of the better bets you can make is at some point in September, we're going to say right here on this show, remember now, guys, Belichick looks at September as an extended preseason. So game one, I'm not as anxious to get on the Pats, but I tell you, I don't want to bet against them. History tells us that. When we come back, there's three NBA games. We've got three picks, including a best bet from Fezzik.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show. You've always wanted, and it's money-making time next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. They will be tipping off Game 2 in Boston 12 minutes from now in the NBA playoffs. Three games on the playoff docket tonight. We start with the Celtics hosting the Pacers. Boston, an 8-point favorite on pregame.com.
Lean or like Steve Fezzik?
I lean to Indiana. There's a recurring theme in my picks tonight, RJ. We've got three home teams that all won by blowouts in game one, and I think there's going to be overconfidence in those home teams, including Boston. They won by 10 points against Indiana. Indiana doesn't have any superstars. I could see Boston going through the motions a little bit in this game and having a letdown. I lean to Indiana.
But the theory is, the zigzag theory, it's not just a potential letdown for the team that won, it's increased motivation for the team that lost, Indiana in this case. But this is a rare game, and we saw a great example of the zigzag yesterday. Whereas Portland won game one, you would think, okay, and the line was 3 in that game. You would think line goes up a little bit. Portland's a little bit better than we thought. The line was like 1. Why? Guys like you, OKC lovers, expected the zigzag, where one team's a little bit complacent, the other team's extra motivated. Now, the fact that OKC didn't win doesn't change it. Historically, that zigzag has been meaningful to the results. Now, the marketplace is now, in the modern era, accounting for it, and that thus you saw the line drop. Here, though, the zigzag would say the Pacers line should be less than in game one. What do we got?
No, and the line has actually gone up. The game one line was Celtics minus 7. Now we're looking at a line, didn't drop, went up to 7.5 and even 8 in some places.
So that tells me this is the marketplace, the Vegas bettors saying, we've reevaluated how good Boston, because the situation, there's no reason Indiana shouldn't benefit from the zigzag, right?
Indiana benefits from the zigzag, yes.
Okay, so the fact that the line's gone up tells me they've upgraded Boston, downgraded Indiana, maybe even upwards net of 1.5.
Correct.
Think about that. The zigzag says this line should have gone down. It's gone up. There's been a total reevaluation of how good Boston is relative to Indiana. And Vegas think Boston is significantly better than Indiana, even more so than they thought just one game ago. I'm always skeptical when there's a big adjustment from one game. I like the Pacers tonight.
At 9:30 Eastern time on TNT, the Jazz are at the Rockets. Houston, already up 1-0 in the series, is a 6.5-point favorite.
And I lean to Utah here, plus the 6.5. The game one line was 6.5. The Rockets annihilated Utah by over 30 points. And as RJ discussed, similar situation to the Celtics line. Here's an all-in effort for Utah with the zigzag.
But we also think there's been a reevaluation saying that after seeing Houston dominate game one, the market's saying, yeah, you've convinced us, Houston, you're a little better than we thought.
Exactly right.
But then you add in the zigzag, which benefits Utah. Net, the line stayed the same.
Correct. And by the way, zigzag is 4-1 for the teams that were down 0-1 year-to-date in the playoffs.
Okay, so it's been working so far.
The Bucks are a 14.5-point favorite hosting the Pistons. Tip-off is 8 Eastern time on NBA TV.
This isn't just a normal game for you. This is one where you're taking off the rubber band.
Make me rich, you can drop dead stuff.
Stop on Detroit. And yes, I bet Detroit plus 15. Detroit is in the ultimate zigzag situation here. They got annihilated by Milwaukee. They lost game one by 35 points. So we know that Detroit is going to bring as big an effort as they can, and it's just human nature. Milwaukee should let up in this game. They lay over this Detroit team. Blake Griffin is injured. He's probably not going to play, and I can see Milwaukee being complacent, similar to how Golden State got complacent in their game one after blowing out the Clippers game one.
Now, the difference is Golden State has multiple titles under their belt. Milwaukee, this is a, it's like a guy, you know, like if you became a rock and roll star and like 20 girls a day were throwing themselves at you, after 5 years of that, you'd probably be like used to it. But the second day it was happening, would you say, no big deal? I wonder if Milwaukee, because this is so new to them, feeling so good to dominate a playoff game, isn't it about the momentum and them keeping it more so than getting complacent?
It's certainly an issue, but RJ, look at the line value here. Game one, for most of the week, Milwaukee was laying 13 in game one. Now Milwaukee's laying 14.5 to 15. That's a big difference.
It's another time the zigzag's not working because they've upgraded Milwaukee. By the way, guys, 2,300 votes in. Should we discuss once a week, even for a minute, the Game of Thrones odds? 50% says yes, 50% says no. There's 50 minutes left to vote. I love democracy. Oftentimes you hear, I wonder if my vote counts. Does it really count? It will. Just go to @RJInVegas on Twitter. Yes, it's a phenomenon, Game of Thrones. No, it's a TV show. Literally 50-50. And remember, guys, this vote is binding. No subjectivity. Whoever wins, it's what we do.
The Odd Couple is next. If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.